Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Reverend Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lord Terry's Power Hour. For those of you who know our voices, you'll know this isn't Terry. This is Onyx. Tonight, Terry is on the road coming in back home, and he's called in. He's in the deck. And what we're going to do tonight is he's going to answer some questions for us, and I'm going to run the switches for him and toss in the questions and let him have at. So I'm going to bring him on now. I want to thank you for joining us tonight on Spiritual Unity Radio Network and joining us here on Lord Terry Power Hour. We're going to bring him on. Terry, are you with us, sir?
I am here, and the GPS is talking to me as I am in the process of maneuvering onto the turnpike. So everybody, bear with me just a minute, and I will turn off the GPS in just a second because I about know my way home from here. So, anyway, hope everybody's having a wonderful evening, good afternoon, good evening, good wherever in the world you are. Glad you're with us, and frankly, I'm glad I'm here. It's been kind of a crazy day, and what was supposed to be a nice, easy job I was working on, you know, a one-day job, of course, turned into a... turned into an interesting little 2-day extra long job. So anyway, there we are. So Onyx, I understand you have some questions for us tonight.
I do indeed.
We're going to do a question and answer session and hang out together and let people ask questions and see what I can do to help out and share a little bit.
Absolutely. And before we get into this, I'm going to let everybody that's listening know that if you have a question for Terry, feel free to call in. The number to dial is area code 646-564-9714. Or if you're there on the Blog Talk Radio site for Spiritual Unity Radio Network and you have the show up, you can look all the way at the top and there's a little Skype emblem there. You can use that to connect for free as well. So either way you want to get into the deck, make sure that you press that number one so that I know that you have a question or that you want to come on with Terry. I will bring you on at the appropriate time. So please, if you've got any questions, feel free to contact us. And first up, let's see, Terry, we're gonna throw a good one at you. Terry, is there a difference between clergy and priest or priestess? And if so, what's the difference?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Certainly there is a difference. And the difference is, well, let's go to defining the term. And the common usage we always hear people talk about, we are our own priest or priestess. And that means that we need no advocate between us and the divine. We can approach the divine for ourselves and act as a priest or priestess for ourselves, speaking to the divine. Clergy is another issue altogether. And while in some expressions of faith, the terms have gotten muddied. The real meaning of clergy is servant. And to be called to the clergy is a very different situation. Being called to clergy is being called to be a servant. That means if the phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning and someone needs spiritual guidance, you've got to be there for them at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. You're a servant.
I've often said that I'm just as much a minister at 3 a.m. as I am at 3 p.m.
Well, if you're not, don't go for a clergy status.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's any number of ways, including the Corellian tradition and witch school, where one can become ordained clergy. That is not necessary for continuing your growth, your studies, and to my mind, even attaining second degree. I do think that at third degree, you probably committed yourself to some amount of service. And at the third degree, yeah, you pretty much, you're committed to service, and at that point, clergy status is, in my mind, mandatory. But the first and second degrees of initiation in just about any Wiccan or similar paths do not require or mandate clergy status. That is, in my opinion, one of the things that I see. People automatically want clergy status in whatever, you know, faith they're following, and that is not necessary.
Right.
There's plenty of opportunities for lay ministries without having that. That full clergy status. I mean, there's also responsibilities that go with it. In a lot of states, there's mandatory reporting in the cases of, and it's state by state, and it depends. In some places, if you suspect child abuse, then you are mandated to report it. In some places, if you suspect any kind of domestic abuse, even adults, then you are mandated to report it. Some places, it goes from state to state, jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and how that is done. But there's a certain responsibility that goes with that. Not just legal, but also there's responsibility to the people that you serve.
Right.
And if you cannot truly be a servant, then don't go there.
Absolutely.
Unless you're called to it, and you'll know the difference.
Well,
if you want to play dress up and perform weddings, that's not good enough reason.
Correct. I agree with you. Now, this brings up a question that I have discussed with other people before, and drop back to, we're talking about not necessarily ordained clergy, but just being called and tapped by the divine to be clergy, to be a minister, or whatever term you want to put on that. Once you're tapped by the divine, do you think that there is a way to walk away from that?
Well, I mean, sure, we have free will.
Okay.
You know, can we choose to deny the call? Absolutely. We can choose to deny anything. We're human. We have mm-hmm. free will. That's the greatest gift that the divine has given us.
Right.
You know, we do have free will. We are perfectly capable of denying everything we know. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, we can know that we're spirit-led to do something, and we can reject that. We sure can. Now, is the call going to come again? Oh, most likely. Is the call going to be more forceful next time? Well, most definitely. And if we continue to reject the messages and the guidance and the leading, or you know, or whatever you want to call the divine messages, it's just going to keep getting more painful. But yes, we can walk away. We can choose. It's just how much do we want to suffer for it?
All right. Now, going down a different tangent, the next question I have for you is, and this is something that, this is based off of something that I saw in a different thread, in a different environment, and they were discussing the definition of a word. The word is worship. Can you give me your definition of the word worship in pagan terms, in the pagan world? What does worship mean to a pagan?
Wow. You know, that one is fraught with connotation. You know, that's one of those throw out the baby with the bathwater kind of concepts that I resist. Because worship is, to my mind, honoring a divine entity in its shortest definition,
mm-hmm.
in its most base concept. It is honoring a divine entity, whether it's the god, the goddess, whatever name you choose, whatever manifestation of the divine you're working with at the time. Worship is honoring that divine entity. It is not... This goes into a whole line of of thinking and a concept that is so hard to grasp when we start talking about recognizing something greater than ourselves. Because a lot of people come into the pagan faith with a certain amount of ego. And while we talk about being co-creators with the divine, a lot of people struggle with the concept of prayer, with the concept of worship, with the concept of a being greater than ourselves, being worthy of honor and respect. Giving my life and my will over to the care of the divine
mm-hmm.
does not mean that I have saved myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people struggle. There's a certain amount of freedom in knowing that the divine has my back, and that there's guidance available if I just sit down, shut up, and listen. And worship and praise is not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that I've given up my will. It doesn't mean that I have subjugated myself. It doesn't mean that I am no longer co-creating.
Right.
It just means that I recognize and respect the divine as being greater than me. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that, for myself, I struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with that whole concept, and it's something you hear in other expressions of faith, and you don't hear it so much in the pagan world. But again, I think that's because a lot of people come into paganism in a certain amount of rebellion, and the idea of listening to the will of the divine smacks too much of where they came from. And they resent and resist the concept of prayer, worship, surrender, guidance, any of those concepts, when in fact they're freedom.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain freedom in surrender.
Yes.
By surrendering my will, I gain myself. So I'll end it and leave it with that thought.
Okay, that sounds great. Terry, what I'd like to do, we have a caller in the background. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drop us into a song, and then we can talk to this caller and bring this caller on with you after the song, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. What I'm going to do is we're going to play Darv the Bard, Green and Gray. Ladies and gentlemen, Darv the Bard, Green and Gray.
Thank you. around the 1st of May. A man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm father to man. I have been
I'm green and gray. You've been listening to Lord Terry's Power Hour on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to Lord Terry.
For those of you who are just joining us, I am Onyx, and I am running the switches for Terry tonight. He is en route back home, and he's joined us through the wonderful technology of the cellular phone, and he's answering questions tonight. I'd like to thank you for joining us here at Spiritual Unity Radio Network, and remind you that all the music that you hear on the station and on the network throughout all of our shows is donated to us by the artists. So if you hear something you like, please buy these songs from these artists to support them, because that's how they continue to produce such wonderful music for us. So I'm going to bring Terry back on with us. Terry, are you back with us, bro?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Now, during the break, we have a caller with us, and I'm going to bring her on here just momentarily. Her name is Shira, and I'll let her introduce herself to you. Shira, are you with us?
I am.
Well, good evening, and thank
Hi,
you
Shira.
So much for calling in.
Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. You're doing great. Your sound is beautiful. Thank you
Hi,
so
Terry.
Much for joining us.
Hey, Shira. How are you tonight?
I'm good tonight. Thanks. You're
cool.
On the road.
Yes, I am. And I'm now in a work zone, so we're just having tons of fun tonight.
Oh, it sounds like it.
That'll slow you down.
Woohoo!
Yeah,
so Shira,
it's been a kind of a day.
Well, at least you're on your way home.
Yeah, well, I'm headed back to Eastern PA anyway, yes. So you have a question for me tonight, darling.
I do. I'm doing the Living the Wiccan Life. And there's a couple questions I've got about some of the lessons. One of them is on free will, and it says that you choose the family you're born into. I have a bit of a problem with that, because I think I wouldn't have chose the one I had got into. And the other half is that your soul decides when you're going to die, although that can be open to change.
Okay. All right. Well, see, it all goes back to my understanding of reincarnation and the reason that we're incarnated in the first place. And we have to go even further back to the descent of the goddess and understand the metaphor of the descent of the goddess and the idea that everything masculine became the physical and everything spiritual remained with the goddess, and that the goddess split herself off into the millions of souls that inhabit the physical. Now, the reason that happened, if you listen to the whole story, is that the goddess and spirit cannot experience the physical. So for us to learn and grow and experience, we have to incarnate. We have to be born into these shells for the experiences and the lessons that we learn in each of these incarnations. So if we look at each incarnation as the classroom and the time we spend on the other side as summer break, we then start to put together an idea of elective classes. And we may not want to take that class, but we need it for our major.
Okay.
Or, so there are things that we have to experience, the good and the bad, to fully experience humanity. We have to have the good lessons as well as the bad lessons, the joys as well as the pain, And so if we keep that in mind and recognize that we choose the lessons that we want to learn in each incarnation, and then we choose circumstances of our birth to give us the best opportunity to have those lessons.
Okay. I know a comment my husband made to me was maybe that I was born into the family in order to help them learn the lessons they needed.
And that is a possibility as well.
Yeah, to be the help because of the amount of help and being there for my mother, my grandmother, my grandfather, and being always the one to aid them in everything. Maybe that was the purpose for me being born into that family, because it was a very difficult time for my mom in my younger life.
And what did you learn from it as well?
Oh, very much so. Probably learned to be a lot stronger than I might have been otherwise.
And you learned the true meaning of service.
Yeah, I would think so. I still think there's a lot to learn. I don't think you ever stop learning.
Gods, I hope not.
I think when you do, you just become really stagnant if you just accept everything.
Right. So looking at as each incarnation as the classroom, you can see how every obstacle that is presented to us is actually an opportunity. It's a lesson to be learned. It's an opportunity for growth.
Yeah, because you choose it's what you choose to do with the lesson that makes the difference.
Exactly. Is that obstacle an opportunity for growth, or is it an excuse to give up?
Yeah.
That is free will.
So what about... Yeah, you have. You've answered my question a little better than probably the book put it out. Because it's a chance to kind of bounce it back and forth. And what about where they say that the soul can choose when it wants to leave the earth?
Okay. I mean, it's not a conscious choice that we make on the mental plane.
So it would be further up the higher self that's making up in the soul that's making that choice.
Exactly. That's why it says specifically that it's the soul making the choice.
Yeah. And is that because the soul
needed
somewhere else?
I'm sorry?
Is that because the soul is needed somewhere else for some other purpose?
Or they're done with the lessons of this incarnation.
Of this, okay. Are you always reincarnated into the same species? Like, do you always come back as a person?
I generally think so. I have no evidence one way or the other.
Another, yeah. Because I said I really don't want to come back as a pink piece of paper.
Yeah, well, I mean, I generally think that, one theory is that we start off incarnated as microbes, and then we start, and then we move up through, you know, successively complicated, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I think that human souls are human souls, and I think that we are in the process of learning what it is to be a human. And to experience everything about humanity so we can continue to grow. And humanity changes, which is kind of cool because then there's always lessons to be learned. Do we move on to something different after we've learned everything about humans? I don't know, because humans are changing. You know, knowing everything about being a Neanderthal, well, okay, fine, but then Neanderthals aren't around anymore.
No.
When we make that next evolutionary leap to Homo sapiens or whatever it is, then we've got a whole new set of lessons to learn because we're not Homo sapiens anymore. So being reincarnated as a Homo sapien or whatever it turns out to be would be... It would be the next logical expression of our souls and of our learning.
So basically, your lessons would evolve, and your soul would evolve as those lessons change through life. It would be a constant cycle of evolution. The lessons
Absolutely.
Always changing as the soul changes.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, everything is in a constant state of growth and evolution. That's actually... Yep, okay.
Have you named your GPS?
I thought you were going to turn that off.
I just call her Mother.
Well, that's half the word.
Of course, you have to realize that I'm a huge sci-fi fan to truly understand the depth of me calling a computer that tells me where to go and calling it Mother. you got to go back to the first Alien movie. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Now, at least you don't call it Hal, right?
Yeah.
That's right. I'm taking exit 56, guys, in case nobody heard that yet. Okay.
Okay.
So,
which exit are you taking, by the way?
did we adjust? You seem like you had one other question or comment when you were...
Well, it's being that having grown up for the, first 50 years of my life or longer as a Christian and in Christianity, and then coming to being a pagan later in life, mostly because I used to look at it as a child, but I put it back because you're constantly told it's wrong. So I would squirrel away all the little pagan things, and finally one day it was like the light bulb went on, But how do you reconcile so many years that are ingrained into you with the pagan side? Because you don't, like you said, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right. Well, I keep in mind a couple of things, and this is maybe a head game I play with myself, and if anybody wants to call me on that and say that that's what I'm doing, that's up to them. But I do, I keep in mind that a lot of the Bible, first of all, it's a revealed religion, and who controls what became the Bible was still human beings.
Yep.
Some of them may have been divinely inspired, and some of them may have been,
monetarily inspired?
Other motivations.
Yeah.
I think we promised to talk about Constantine on Thursday night.
And
my feelings about Constantine and the Council of Bishops at Nicaea. But anyway, that aside, if you look at, first of all, look at the Ten Commandments. Let's look at some of the stuff. And it says, you will have no other God but me. And that's one of the ways that the church uses to browbeat people into not following, other expressions of faith or fully expressing their spirituality.
Yeah.
You got to remember, who did Yahweh make that deal with? Who did Yahweh tell, you will have no other God but me? I'm asking you.
Oh, you're asking me? Well,
I think,
ma'am. Didn't the commandments came down to Moses?
Yes, but who was it? You will be my people, and in return, you will have no other God but me.
I don't know.
The Jews.
The tribes of Israel. Yeah,
the people of Israel.
Israel.
Yahweh made a deal with the
Israel.
People of Israel.
Yeah.
And said, okay, you are my people. I'll protect you, take care of you. Here's the rule. You people of Israel, you will have no other God but me. Didn't say there are no other gods. And I'm not Jewish. That deal doesn't apply to me.
We are the other people.
Yeah, we are the other people. So, with, you know, with that in mind, I find that the other eight rules, they're not bad. There's some pretty good wisdom. If you look at the book and you look at the wisdom and you look at the teachings of Jesus, I mean, let's just take the red letters. Just open to the New Testament, get a red letter edition, and just read the red letters. That's some good stuff. Because Jesus taught a personal, individual relationship with the divine. Now, he understood that divine to be Jehovah or Yahweh, but he was teaching a personal, individual relationship with the divine. And when you pray, go in the closet and pray. Be not like the hypocrites, for they love to stand on the street corner and pray out loud, "Verily I say unto you, they've had their reward." But when you pray, go in the closet and pray in private, and your Father who hears in private will reward you. Now, there's also questions as to whether or not the word used for your Father in many of the New Testament writings was not, in fact, a plural. And your parents who hear in private will reward you. That's another whole topic of conversation. But the point is that if you take out the dogma and go to the teachings of the man that they pretend or profess to follow, that's some good stuff. I got no problem with it. It's what people have done with it. So the teachings are fine. I can reconcile them very easily. My gosh, I mean, what I just quoted to you from, I believe, from the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. That's very pagan.
Well,
so
I think the roots come from there.
I just read it.
Yeah.
Say again. You know, I set aside the whole you will have no other God but me and move on from there. I mean, if you set aside the first two commandments as a deal that was made with the Jews, the rest of it's pretty easy to follow.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to, you know, because over the years through the church, Christ always said that he was there to serve the people, but I'd be in the churches and they'd turn around and say, no, the people are here to serve the church, and it seemed to be a little backwards to me.
Oh, it is completely flip-flopped. In fact, you take me back to the first question. The first question of the evening, did you hear the question about clergy?
Yes, I did. And service. It's about service.
It gets better because you just reminded me of something. That's one of my favorite topics. Okay, the whole idea of clergy and service. And it ties back into the church because one of the best examples of what true service is demonstrated to us on the night of the betrayal, if you follow the mythos. Okay, so let's just presume that we're following the myth story, and I'm not going to get into whether it's literal or not, but let's just go with the story as it's written, okay? So, on the night of the betrayal, we are told the story, it begins, everybody focuses on the betrayal and the Last Supper and all that kind of stuff. But the evening begins with Jesus washing the feet of his disciples and demonstrating himself to be an example of service. That is still done in some churches on Maundy Thursday, which Maundy comes from the word mandate, which is the do this in remembrance of me mandate. But a lot of services do a foot washing service. And the priest or a clergy person washes the feet of some of the members, who then in turn and wash the feet of the rest of the congregation, demonstrating service. And that's what true clergy is. And that's what clergy of any faith should hold as the highest example of service, is that foot washing. The greatest shall become the lowliest, and the lowliest shall become the greatest.
Yeah.
Through service. So, how do I reconcile the two? I don't have to. It does it for itself.
But those are some good answers to my questions.
Why, thank you, ma'am. Those were some good questions to give me something to say.
Well,
no, you're right in my wheelhouse, too, by the way.
Okay.
A lot of my teachings go all around the conversation we've just had.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. I enjoyed that. Anything
you're welcome.
Else?
No.
Sure, I'd like to thank you so much. We'll talk during the musical interlude. We're going to break for a few minutes, let everybody take a breath. And you were listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network right here with Lord Terry Power Hour. He is answering the questions and doing a fabulous job of it. We're going to break for a song, Emerald Roads, Summerland.
They say the road to heaven is straight and narrow, and they say the road to hell is smooth and wide. Well, the path that I follow, it may be long and winding, but it surely leads to the other side. Well, I walk amid the shadows and the path of light, and I've seen myself a gravel drained Celtic fold. I'll trace the sacred spiral of the mystery light on to the final.
Till summer land is done.
from a land. The wheel is spinning, womb of change, a re-beginning. From one to the many, and from the many to the one. Well, oppressed in deep reflection, seeking truth in new direction, till summer land is done. Summer land.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. Now, back to the show.
Thank you for sticking around. I am Onyx. This is Lord Terry's Power Hour, and we have Terry on the phone en route back home. We also have Shira with us, who has called in to discuss a few topics with us, a few questions. I'd like to thank you for continuing to listen to us here tonight and bearing with us as we try out this new format. I think it's going rather well. Remember that all of our artists here have donated their music for free to us so that you can hear their music, and we would like to let you know that we would like for you to buy their music if you like what you hear. Now, we're going to continue on with the show. Terry, are you with us?
I am here.
Okay, and bring on Shira. Shira, are you with us, hon?
I am.
All right.
You know, that was an interesting song selection. Was that intentional? Was that song selection intentional, or was it just what you felt moved to play?
The last one?
Yeah.
That was a strike from behind, if you understand what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
All right.
That was one of those, play that one. I don't want to play that one. No, play that one. Okay, I'll play that one.
Okay, well, it goes back to the conversation we were having before the break.
It does.
You know, we were talking about incarnations, and I said that the other side is summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
The summer land is one concept of our existence on the other side of the veil. When we leave each incarnation, we go to the summer land for rest and recuperation, and to my mind, that's summer break, where we go to incorporate everything we learned in this incarnation and the lessons, and then we get ready to come back and do it again.
Kind of like a debriefing.
Yeah. Exactly. So Summerland was actually particularly apropos to the previous conversation. Mm-hmm. So, Shira, you had another question for me as well.
Yeah, your definition or take on hell is in Christianity, and where we say there is no hell, you know, what's the kind of take on that when they say, like, you die and go to hell, or, you know, if you do those bad things, you're going to go to hell? Where does that all come into play? Is hell and Satan, like, intertwined? Does it all come out of people trying to control you?
Okay. Well, now, I have an interesting take on that. And I've got to say that I've had this thought about hell for a long time, and then when I was living in Barbados, I was sitting in an Anglican church. Even as a pagan, and, well known, I was probably the Wiccan high priest on the entire island. And I was well known on the island as being the Wiccan high priest on the island, I still attended church with my now ex-wife. And I had no problem having conversations with priests, and, you know, Anglican church, Episcopal church, it was the same. And I was sitting and I listened to this particular sermon, and I promise you, I'd had conversations with this priest after, and I think he's very pagan-leaning like we are. You know, he's got a lot of thoughts that are very similar to ours. He defined hell not as a physical place, but as a separation from the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it begins a whole thought process. If we, it, you know, of course, we cannot separate ourselves from the divine. You know, the divine spark is within us. We carry the divine within us. That part of us that is our soul is a part of the divine. So there is no separating. But we can create a distance, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, almost like a state of denial that anything else is out there.
Exactly. Now,
what do people say
causes us to go to hell?
Oh.
Sin.
Yeah.
Doing things that we think are wrong. Okay? Now, that applies to us as well. When we do things in our lives that we think are wrong, we will, out of shame, be less connected to the divine. We will, out of our internal mechanisms, through our own shame and upset at what we've done, we do tend, as humans, to distance ourselves from our spiritual connection. And therefore, we create within ourselves a state of separation. And when we are not connected, when we cannot feel, whether it's by our, you know, well, it is always by our choice, but when we cannot feel that connection to the divine as strongly, we suffer. We suffer horribly when we do not work with that connection to the divine. By whatever name you call the divine, if you separate yourself through your free will, through your conscious choices, you will suffer. Not a punishment, but an absence, a lacking, an emptiness, a feeling of despair will ultimately come over us when we don't embrace that connection with the divine. We're always empty and trying to fill it with something.
But there's also a
there is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.